The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. It is gorgeous out, and I promised you a great show. And I don't think I'm lying, because our first guest is one that I know is a fan favorite. And she is also the editor-in-chief of Human Events. That was announced earlier this month by Human Events Media Group. Libby, congratulations. Libby Emmons joins us now. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Grace. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Libby, I want to start with your story before we move on to this feud between Joe Biden and Ron DeSantis and saying that not allowing for gender-affirming health care is sinful. Before we get to all of that, which I know you're going to have a lot of thoughts on, let's talk about New York Attorney General Letitia James, because the Post-Millennial put up a story about Letitia James and how she's hosting, or that they intended to show their support for Drag Queen Story Hour for Kids by hosting one this Sunday. And, you know, I saw that headline and I thought, of course, you know, every day gets weirder and weirder. But then it took another turn. And this was kind of like the woke mob kind of turning in on itself. This was a little bit of infighting, in my opinion. Can you kind of break down for the audience what happened?
Yeah, this is actually absolutely hysterical. This is my favorite story of the whole week already, and it's only Wednesday. Letitia James, Trump-hating, vengeful Letitia James, who is doing everything possible to make sure that Trump gets criminally prosecuted, has teamed up with some incredibly leftist city council members in New York City, as well as State Senator Brad Hoyleman, who is New York State Scott Wiener, if listeners know who that is, out in California. They are planning to do a drag queen story hour for kids and families in the West Village, which is a very gay neighborhood, this Sunday. They were planning to show their support. These city council members are ones who find money in the city to fund these ridiculous programs where children are treated to drag queens dancing around and reading books about gender identity and how four-year-olds can change their sex. They are planning to hold this drag queen story hour at some place called The Center, which is LGBT-friendly, blah, 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 blah. So they were all very excited and proud of themselves for the opportunity to get some press photos of themselves and some drag queens and some trans kids or whatnot. But it turns out that Letitia James, top cop in New York State, is not particularly welcome at these events, go figure. The leftists, the LGBT community activists, they don't want these people to show up at the center. They don't want them at their community. They don't want cops. They want queer liberation. They want it now. And they want kids to experience queer joy.
Yeah, in your piece it says, activists who state that queer spaces must be no-cop zones are demanding that James not be a part of Drag Story Hour events. So really, she's trying her best, Libby, and God love her, she's trying to kowtow to the radical left, and they're basically saying, no thanks, you're canceled, we don't want you.
Get out of here, you cop.
Yeah, you're not woke enough for us.
No, and of course, Letitia James, as the attorney general, is the top cop in the state, and they don't want her there. However, I'm sure if there were some sort of incident where conservatives, parents, showed up to protest the Drag Story Hour, these would be the first people calling 911, demanding that cops show up, stay out, and protect them and their spaces. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to, and there's going to be protests at this thing. I already know that there's going to be protests. There's going to be protests from the left against Tish James. There's going to be protests from the right against sexually exploiting children who are too young to know the difference between, being told that they can actually change sex and the reality of that kind of thing. And there may be other surprises in store. We shall see. I've actually been talking to a video reporter, NJEG Media is I think what it is. I always get it wrong, but let me just look it up really quick as to what it is. NJEG Media, is that what it is? Goodness gracious, why can I never remember? Anyway, he's great, and he's going to be out there watching what's going on. I know that there's going to be a lot of video footage out there of this event on Twitter, so we can all stay tuned and, get some popcorn and watch this all go down. I just think it's so funny that they don't want Tish James there. I just think that's hysterical.
Yes, I also find that very, very amusing. Libby, on this same kind of topic, I wanted to get your thoughts on something. So Ron DeSantis has been very vocal about how Florida is not going to allow experimental sex change operations for kids. And in fact, what he did, which was a similar tactic to what he used last week, is he put together a video that shows some of the side effects and, some of what goes into this gender-affirming health care, and this really upset people. But he was also responding to a comment by Joe Biden. And I want to play this comment for you and then get your reaction. This was Joe Biden on The Daily Show, because, of course, he doesn't do actual interviews anymore. He does interviews with Cal Penn from The Daily Show and Drew Barrymore.
Cal Penn.
Yeah, it's a joke. And this is what he had to say. This is cut one.
Transgender kids is a really harder thing. What's going on in Florida is, as my mother would say, close to sinful. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. It's not like, a kid wakes up one morning and says, I decided I want to become a man, or I want to become a woman, or I want to change. I mean, what are they thinking about here? They're human beings. They love, they have feelings, they have inclinations that are, it just, to me, is, I don't know, it's cruel.
There's so much stupidity in that response, Libby. I really don't know what part you can go to. I mean, the fact that he says these are kids, they don't wake up one day. Kids wake up one day and say, I want to be a horse. I want to be a whale. I want to be a dolphin. Like, he's making the opposite point of what he thinks. But I really want to know what your thought is on now, this attempt. And we've seen it. We've seen it with DeSantis. We've seen it. Cindy Lauper saying, oh, what's happening in Florida? This is like what happened in Germany. There's a lot of comparison to Hitler and the Nazis.
Ridiculous.
So now being
ridiculous,
suspicious or skeptical or even questioning this gender-affirming healthcare is sinful?
Yeah. So everything Joe Biden said is completely wrong. Kids do wake up one day and they say they want to be the opposite sex, and it's called social contagion. It's been well reported. It happens when people follow, too many Tumblr accounts is one place where people had kids had come to the decision that they are trans, as they're part of, they experience this loving online community, what have you. So first of all, kids do wake up one day and decide that they're trans, and they do it because it's trendy and it will get them a lot of attention and everyone will say that they're beautiful and brave. That literally happens. As for what Biden said about what's going on in Florida, where the medical and chemical mutilation of children is being prohibited and criminalized, Biden is saying that that's sinful. He has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't have a single bit of understanding as to what medical transition entails. Ron DeSantis, in putting out that video, I think it makes a lot of sense that he did that. In fact, these are videos that when someone like Billboard Chris posts them on Twitter, his account gets restricted. These are videos where when reporters at Postmillennial take screenshots of the videos and use them for header images in stories about things like penile inversion, which is called vaginoplasty, or double mastectomies of healthy breasts, which is called top surgery, or the filleting, perhaps is the right word, of you know, muscle and flesh from girls' arms and thighs to create a weird sausage thing that is then stitched over the vaginal area, the atrophy of uterus and fallopian tubes. All of these things, when we take screenshots of that to use as header images, Google suppresses that content so we don't use it. It is hard to get this footage out there, and it is absolutely gruesome and horrifying to look at. One glimpse at what is done in a vaginoplasty, as they call it, it would make anyone realize that this is not something that should be done to children. So I appreciate and respect DeSantis for putting this out there so that people can see what all these euphemisms are really referring to, which is, you know, the chemical and medical mutilation. I mean, it's mutilating surgeries that are done to kids. Most places don't allow the genital surgery for under 18s, but certainly some do. The World Professional Association of Transgender Health does not offer an age limit on, in terms of guidance for when these surgeries should be performed. Instead, they say that it should be on a case-by-case basis. I feel fully, and I know Ron DeSantis agrees with me, that absolutely this should never be done to anyone under the age of 18. I question whether it should be done at all, but adults get to make their own decisions for that. Joe Biden is completely off his rocker for everything he said. What is sinful is this kind of work. Mia Ashton, who writes for Postmillennial, she's our gender writer. She's excellent. She put together a piece for Detransition Awareness Day that was over this weekend. It was on Sunday, where she detailed some of the most insane medical experiments that were considered common practice and were considered pioneering medicine. The guy who invented the lobotomy was given a Nobel Prize for that. And, you know, one of the Kennedy sisters was left disabled after having been given a lobotomy to help her, you know, hysteria or anxiety or whatever they wanted to call her nervous condition at the time. So we see this repeated throughout medical history, and we're doing it again. When we look back at this, at this time period, when we see the number of young women who are growing up now without their breasts, and they're going to come to their 20s, into their 30s, and they're going to realize that they are unable to nurse their children. They're going to realize that, you know, being female is not necessarily the worst thing. And we're going to have to curse ourselves. I mean, that's going to be the real sin. Is all of these young people who grow up without the ability to exist in their natal sex. And for boys who undergo these kinds of procedures early, who start taking puberty blockers at a young age, they do not end up with fully developed genitals. And there are doctors, some of them with WPATH, that World Professional Association of Transgender Health, doctors who are, in fact, grown-up men who have undergone transition as adults, who say fully that they have never had a male patient who has gone on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones who was ever able to achieve orgasm. I think all adults can say that, you know, orgasm is part of a healthy sexual relationship with a loving partner, and it's really that's a sin to deprive boys of that. It's a sin to deprive girls of, you know, the pleasure that comes along with their own bodies and with, you know, being mothers. So, yeah, Biden is totally wrong. And any anybody who's around him, who's allowing him to continue in these delusions, they're the ones who are committing the sins.
Libby Emmons, we thank you so much for coming on and for sharing all your knowledge with us. You can follow Libby on Twitter at Libby Emmons and read all of her work at the Post Millennial. I have to tell you guys that I've said it before, I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he is the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. Because when you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of your life becomes a lot easier. So if you've thought about Perfect Smiles for years, but you never called, take the first step towards a renewed sense of self-confidence and visit Dr. Houghton. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. That's Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're located off of Route 3. They've got plenty of parking, and you can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. You know, it's sad because when you have someone on to talk about something like that, we had Libby Emmons on. She's talking about what's actually going on with these surgeries. And it's hard to hear. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to hear. I'd much rather talk about something else that I find a little more lighthearted and easier to kind of digest. But then I think, well, if this is what we're being told is so great, and this is what we're being told is gender-affirming healthcare, and we're being fed all these euphemisms about what it is, then don't I have somewhat of a responsibility to at least acknowledge the truth of what's happening? And it brings me back to DeSantis with the books. Like, everyone said, oh, he's banning books. Then he puts what's in the books in an ad on TV, and suddenly these networks that have no problem disparaging him as this Orwellian censorship crazy dictator, they can't even play the commercials because everything in the books is so pornographic. And so for me to sit here and go, oh, you know, this is a little graphic to talk about, but they're talking about it. They're just not telling you the actual details. They're telling you this is all wonderful. Let's go to Ron. You're up next. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, Grace. Just wanted to chime in about the DeSantis and Biden thing, the social contagion, or the gender mill, as I call it. I think we need to turn whatever the left says about people that think like we do, we need to turn that around and hit them with the same thing. Basically, these gender surgeries are like sick Nazi experiments.
I know what you're trying to say, because they're saying that it's DeSantis not allowing people to get these surgeries is reminiscent of 1930s Germany. I kind of just wish we could just do away with all the comparisons to the Nazis and to Germany. Like, some things you just don't have to compare things to. I always say, don't compare things to Germany. Don't compare things to 9/11. One of the best quotes I've ever heard is from The Office, Dwight Schrute. Comparisons are hard. Let's leave it at that. Most things you can just talk about what they are. You don't have to make some sort of analogy or comparison to something else. But I do think that once in a while, and like, you know, I just talked to Howie about this. I said, I'm not going to run with this all day long because it's heavy. And I really don't. Doing that topic for more than a few minutes, I think, is a lot for people. But once in a while, I do think it's important to let people know what's going on, because you can hear these words and think, well, maybe Republicans are being mean, or maybe they are making these kids feel bad. And as Caroline Levitt pointed out on my show, it's not the job of adults to make things the easiest as possible, or to just give kids whatever they want. So, oh, I want this, or I feel like I'm a boy, I want this surgery. Okay, sure thing. Sometimes being the adult is saying, I know that that's what you want, but you're going to have to wait, and you're going to have to get through this. And so I just think it's an important topic, not every day, but on some days, to discuss. When we come back, we got a whole bunch of other stuff to get to, so don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I want to shift here to a story that I told you all I wanted to read, and then we'll go back to the calls. This was from the Federalist, David Sachs, and he says, don't blame depositors for bank failure. Blame Biden and SVB management. Now, I went through this, and I kind of cut up the parts of it that I really wanted to get out there. So if you want to read the full thing, go to the Federalist. But I thought this explained it really well. So David started off the piece by saying that both sides of the political aisle have a knee-jerk reaction to blame the wealthy speculators, the tech bros, the venture capitalists for this collapse. But he says it started in Washington. He said, if you want to understand the context for the crisis, look at the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation chair's March 6th testimony, a week before Silicon Valley Bank's collapse, where he explains that banks were sitting on $620 billion of unrealized losses from long-dated bonds. This provided the tinder for the crisis. The match was lit when SVB announced on Wednesday that it had effectively sold, that's last Wednesday, that it had effectively sold all of its available for sale securities and needed to raise fresh capital because of large unrealized losses from its mortgage bond portfolio. On Thursday morning, the financial press widely reported SVB's need for new capital, and short sellers were all over the stock. The CEO's disastrous "don't panic" call later that morning only heightened fears and undermined confidence in the bank. Like we talked about, when someone tells you not to panic, it's like Michael Scott when they have the fire in the office. Nobody freak out! I forbid anybody to freak out! That's when I think Jim tried to throw a printer through the window to escape. People freak out when you tell them not to panic. By Friday, the run on other banks had begun. Once the run on the banks started, decisive action by the Fed was imperative. This meant protecting deposits and backstopping regional banks. No matter how distasteful you may find those things to be, preventing a greater economic calamity was necessary. But back to SVB. Its collapse was first and foremost a result of its own poor risk management and communications. It should have hedged its interest rate risk, and it should have raised the necessary capital months ago through an offering that didn't spook the street. SVB doesn't deserve a bailout and isn't getting one. I might disagree with that. The executives will spend years in litigation and may have stock sales clawed back. Anyone who thinks there's a moral hazard isn't paying attention. SVB's failure didn't arise from risky startups doing risky startup things. It arose from SVB's overexposure to boring old mortgage bonds, which were considered safe at the time SVB bought them. Perhaps this is why SVB had an A rating from Moody's and had passed all of its regulatory exams. So what turned the mortgage bonds toxic? The most rapid rate tightening cycle we've seen in decades. You can see the connection here between rapid rate hikes and unrealized losses in the banking system. So what caused the rapid rate hikes? The worst inflation in 40 years. And what caused that? Spending money printing coming out of Washington, spending and money printing coming out of Washington, all while Joe Biden, Janet Yellen, and Powell assured us inflation was transitory. I warned 2 years ago that pumping trillions of dollars of stimulus into an already hot economy was an unprecedented and likely dangerous experiment. But this was Bidenomics. So when Joe Biden says he's going to hold those responsible for this mess fully accountable, he ought to start by looking in the mirror. But I'm sure that's not going to happen, just as I'm sure the hunt for scapegoats is just beginning. Now, I'm not saying I agree with 100% of this, but I do think that this idea that it was the startups and like the risks they take as opposed to the management of this bank and the current economy we're in. I do tend to agree that this has more to do with Joe Biden than he'd want you to believe. Tony, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Good afternoon, Grace. Hope you're doing well. I really liked your appearance on Fox and Friends Sunday morning. You did great.
Thank you, sir.
Definitely. It was awesome. But I just want to say, Grace, I think you, you're right on point. I've heard you talk about, you know, Trump and his approach here with this 2024 election. God willing, we're still afloat, you know, by 24, the way things are going. But as you know, there's so many problems in this country right now. I mean, there's not enough hours in the day to go over those, obviously. If he just kind of sticks to, you know, what he's going to do to fix everything in the country and stays right on point, I think he'll do just fine. And I feel like his speech at CPAC earlier this month, Grace, and also just this past Monday, 2 days ago, I thought he did a great job doing that. I think he stayed on point. He doesn't really have to, like, you know, attack DeSantis. I mean, I think he can, you know, maybe, you know, a little thing here and there, but he doesn't have to obsess over that any longer. And I feel like he doesn't have to worry about the 2020, because we need to, like, fix this country, Grace. And I think that if he just stays on point, and I feel like you did touch on that, I think that that's the key. And I think he's the only person, honestly, that can fix this country, because he has experience and he can hit the ground running, Grace.
Yeah, Tony, I don't take issue with anything that you're coming out with as far as if he stays on point. I will say I think that that's a big if, though, because we've seen this man operate before. Maybe he will. But I think that I also think it's going to get interesting. And I've had this debate with people in the office about whether or not DeSantis is going to start mudslinging with Trump. And I think that's kind of inevitable. I think that once you get on a debate stage and Trump starts hitting below the belt, your natural reaction is to fight back. And what I do think will be interesting is when DeSantis starts going after Trump's performance during the pandemic. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's very easy to Monday morning quarterback someone who was dealing with a once in a lifetime situation and had the whole world rooting against him. But there's no question that Trump has made it clear that he is going to take digs at DeSantis and how he handled the pandemic. And I just think that's out of bounds or I shouldn't even say out of bounds. I just don't think that holds up. Because if you compare Florida to the rest of the country, I don't think anyone's going to argue that Florida was better off during the pandemic than most of us. And so once DeSantis starts that up and starts saying, well, let's talk about your performance during the pandemic, I think that's going to be like lighting a match and just watching a grenade go off. I do not think Trump's going to like that. I'll be very curious how that plays out. Thank you for the call, Tony. I do want to say, just going back to this bank situation, so it's not just Silicon Valley Bank. That's Gavin Newsom's bank. That's the bank of the startup tech CEOs. I want to talk about Signature Bank, okay? Because Signature Bank is also in the news. They also closed they collapsed. And they have a long history of wokeism. And it's amazing. You know, I almost feel the same way about these banks as I did about the FBI when I started seeing on the Twitter files how often the FBI was flagging tweets. I was like, does the FBI have anything going on besides scrolling social media? I think that applies to a lot of these companies. I think a lot of people at these companies are just in charge of retweets and hashtags and marketing campaigns about green initiatives and philanthropy. There's not a lot of work going on here. Who's crunching the numbers? Who's looking at the reports? The further out we get, maybe the answer is no one. And that's why we're in the situation we're in. But I guess Signature Bank chairman led a Know Your Pronouns seminar. So this would be Scott Shea. He co-hosted a Know Your Pronouns company seminar last October where employees were lectured on how to properly use pronouns such as Z and her. Videos of the seminar made the rounds on social media over the weekend after regulators took control of the bank on Sunday. And that's not the only thing that's making the rounds on social media. We also have these, what would you describe them as, Jared? Are they commercials?
They're probably more promotional videos than commercials, but I think they did air on television.
They did.
Yeah.
They looked pretty high budget.
Yeah. I mean, at least parts of them did. But yeah, they're musical numbers, basically.
That's one thing I don't expect from my bank.
Well, and they're recreations of or re-lyricing popular music songs, like Katy Perry.
They're parodies. Fun.
They're parodies. But you would assume to use that, to use any music. I mean, we have to pay royalties for the bumper music we use. You would think they had to invest in using that music, pay the artist or pay the company. Like, so they're doing that
well,
with the funds.
That's chump change.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Compared to the $73 million they're giving to Black Lives Matter, that's true. It was like nothing. It was just, you know, it was just chump change. But you know what I'm more concerned about? If my bank went under and I was outside, like in Wellesley, outside in a line with people, and I couldn't get anybody on the phone or I wasn't let into the building, and then I start seeing these videos circulating of all these people singing along to Katy Perry, I'd be kind of mad. I'd be like, do you think we could have used any of this brain power towards, I don't know, running the bank? Now you've come to Signature. Let us help you reach the stars. Our profits will go up, up, up. Watch them grow, they'll never stop, up, up. All right, I didn't realize that there's something worse about all of this. There's a worse part to this story. It's not the fact that the bank sucked. It's not the fact that they spent their time making these weird videos. It's the fact that they're pitchy. If you're going to make a parody video, if you're going to spend a lot of people's money on making these woke, stupid videos, at least be on key. Is that so much to ask? That's on par with the celebrities during COVID who filmed the... What was it, John?
Imagine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Imagine all the people. And everybody was on a different key because they were all filming it in like their bathrooms and their mansions.
I got to say, the choreography for those videos was on point, though.
I would hope so because the singing was terrible. So I would hope some part of it was worth it. Let me hear the other one. This is, again, Signature Bank. They're worried about wokeism. They're worried about diversity. They're worried about these... promotional ads, parodying these popular songs. They're not worried about banking. This is cut three. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of like when I was younger, I was annoying. I was, you all probably could have figured that out. That's not a huge leap. But I was always the kid who like had to be up on the mantle, like by the fireplace performing, you know, my family members would be trying to watch some sort of game and I would be like, halftime show, listen to me sing. And all that's fine. But you know, when you're younger and you spend, let's say you spend a lot of time putting together songs or performances, or you spend a lot of time playing street hockey outside, or you spend a lot of time doing something besides your schoolwork. That's all well and good until you come home with an F. And then your mom's like, hey, maybe no halftime show performances for a while. Go upstairs and do your math homework, you know? Like maybe we'll give the one woman show, the plays that you're putting on every night at dinner, we're going to give those a rest and you just learn to read. Okay. That is how I feel about this. Like, sure. You want to put on parodies. You want to create your own musicals on the company dime. Okay. When everything's running smoothly, go for it. I encourage it. You guys, First Republic wants to have these big fancy Christmas parties with magicians or whatever else they're having. Wonderful. But the second something goes wrong and you put people's money at risk, or in this case, you create a situation where all of Americans are going to have to clean up your mess, that's when people start going, so how much did the magician cost? I'm sorry. How many hours did we spend practicing, rehearsing for that parody performance? Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an issue. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more of your calls. Stay on the lines. A top anti-aging doctor provides the best facelifts without surgery. His clients say the results are sensational. This doctor is Dr. Curtis Burchill, MD, of the Fountain Clinic in Rocky River, Ohio. There are many non-surgical facelift methods on the market, but Dr. Burchill's methods are the very best. Dr. Burchill's top three painless facelifts are as follows. First up, Skin Tight is an advanced infrared laser that restores and tightens lost collagen in the skin. This reduces wrinkles and sagging skin. The second treatment is called the Thread Lift. This treatment inserts surgical threads into the skin that lift sagging skin like facelift surgery. They dissolve over time and form collagen. The third top treatment is Skin De-Age, a highly advanced lotion that provides results similar to a facelift in 4 minutes. These results last up to 8 hours per application, and you can apply Skin De-Age at home. We've used this before in the studio. I've used it before. I've done hits before on TV, and it really does smooth your skin. It's pretty amazing. You can get more information on Dr. Burchill's advanced painless facelifts without surgery, and you can get free delivery of Skin De-Age to your home. Just go to painlessfacelift.com. You can get a big discount on Skin De-Age if you use my discount code, GRACEBOGO. Grace BOGO, to buy one, get one. So now you can start looking much younger again without getting a painful surgical facelift. To get your non-surgical painless facelift, go to painlessfacelift.com and use discount code Grace BOGO. That's painlessfacelift.com. We will be right back with more of your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley for a delightful afternoon.
Skyrockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Afternoon delight.
There are many non-surgical facelift methods on the market, but Dr. Curtis Burchill's methods are the very best. To get your non-surgical painless facelift, go to painlessfacelift.com and use discount code GRACEBOGO. That's painlessfacelift.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you think is the new Biden family member who got a cut of the $3 million wire? Sarah, Dr. Jill, Naomi, Ashley, Valerie, or other?
I'm going to say Valerie. He loves his sister. She's never really had her moment in the sun. It only makes sense that she should get in on this $3 million wire transfer.
Valerie is only at 6%, well in the lead. Dr. Jill at 60%, and everybody else is 8 or 9%.
It's so typical that Dr. Jill is just stealing the spotlight from Valerie, and I'm sick of this. I'm sick of her living in the shadows of someone else's dreams. It's her turn. When is it Val's turn?
Teacher, what do you see?
All right, now, I know people are on the lines. People want to talk about everything from the transgender movement to gender-affirming healthcare and all that. We are moving on, though. We are going to talk. We are going to talk to Justin Manning in the next hour about what's going on with the real estate. And we're going to talk about this interesting story about Pope Francis. But one other thing I wanted to throw at you here, where I have 1 minute on the clock, is a story about the Easter egg roll. Now, I first read this and I kind of panicked because they made it seem like the Easter egg roll was going to be canceled. But it turns out PETA, and I told Howie about this earlier this week, the PETA president is asking the White House to forgo using hen-laid eggs and instead opt for reusable plastic eggs or wooden eggs or even lovely painted rocks or egg-shaped balls. I'm not sure. Now, this is from Kira Davis, who's been on the show. She said, I'm not sure what the PETA prez is talking about, as there is no indication that children are forced to eat the eggs they find or that they are even eaten by anyone at all. According to the farm that provides these eggs, some are dyed and all are hard-boiled. But Pete is asking if they can get rid of the eggs. Just an update for you before we see the Easter Bunny leading around our president. We'll be right back with more. It's Grace Curley Show.